7-day intensive seminar, School of the Master, lecture 20, My Stem Cells Are My Original Purity and Integrity. My stem cells are my original purity and integrity. Now this goes to support Sylvia in her contention that the stem cells are her original purity and integrity, and they're merely revealing themselves through her body. Or something like that. Okay. How can this be? How this can be is a mystery, but a fact. My stem cells are my original purity and integrity. My stem cells are undifferentiated, the ideal waiting. Impacted by my stem cells, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I am whole and perfect. Advanced psychology, its application now. This is kind of fun. How can my stem cells be my original purity and integrity? How this can be is a mystery, but a fact. Let's immediately make it no longer a mystery. In our body, at the outset, are our stem cells, okay? As the placenta, as the embryo develop, they are pure stem cells. They are undifferentiated cells. They are the original purity and integrity cells, undifferentiated cells. They have no purpose, no direction, no goal, even though somehow an intelligence infuses them with a direction and a goal. Our original stem cells are our original purity and integrity. Our original stem cells from our placenta and from our embryo and from our early development are our original purity and integrity. Our original purity and integrity and the word stem cell are the synonymous. Make sense? Mm-hmm. That's what it is. So when we announce that our brain produces 10,000 stem cells every day at more, undifferentiated stem cells, our original purity and integrity cells, you might say, and these cells showering our body with our original purity and integrity, it has nothing to do with whether our body has forgotten our original purity and integrity or not, whether it's gone off on some side tangent, whether it feels that it needs to be sick, it needs to be old, it needs to be in any way limited. Do the original integrity and purity, is the original integrity and impurity of our body limited in any way?
No.
Is our original purity and integrity in any way aging?
No.
Is it staying young?
No.
It is. It is without age, without direction, without goal, without purpose. It is just the ideal of whatever that ideal is. And like Gregor's pointed out so beautifully, we have no idea what it really means. No. Except it's good.
But this stem cell has all ages in itself.
It is all. And it is the all.
It's the allness, kind of.
Now, what makes Gregor think he's so intelligent that he can say to us that the stem cell is the all? Huh? Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
The stem cell is the all. If the stem cell is the all, then we have 10,000 of them, knowingly, entering our system every day. So we cannot say we have to grow old. We cannot say we have to be sick. We cannot say we have to have any limitation. The stem cells are right there to back up wholeness, purity, health, youth, vitality. Can you see that that is perhaps the medicine of today? That is the reality of today, the thinking of today, that our stem cells are our original purity and integrity. Now, Sylvia was talking about that in her meditation affirmations here, and I said, "That's silly. That's silly. Sylvia, you are silly. Sylvia, you are stupid. Sylvia, you don't know what you're talking about. Sylvia, you're a jerk." And Sylvia said, "Oh, okay, what should I be saying?" And so I corrected her. And then, 2 seconds later, I went over to Ingeborg, and I said, "Ingeborg, if you say something, stand up for it. If you say something, stand up for it. Stand up. Stand up for it." And I gave Ingeborg a cue. And so then she stood up for her mistake, which she wouldn't have to accept it was a mistake, but she stood up for what she said. And then Sylvia could have stood up and said, "Hey, that's what I meant too. That's what I said, what I meant. And that's what I read." Now, what did Sylvia say in her statement here? What did she say? It's a big sheet of paper, so I really don't have to go all this fumbly book here. Okay, now, put these unimportant little sheets down here. There she comes. And Sylvia says, "I love you, pure white stem cells. You are my thoughts that joyfully explode into the original purity and integrity in all that you touch." Now, what did Sylvia say there? Sylvia said that in each stem cell is the original purity and integrity, because anything that it touches explodes into the original purity and integrity from the stem cell. Interesting, huh? Now, am I reading it wrong? "I love you, my pure white stem cells." Okay, that's just introduction. "You are my thoughts." That's introduction too. "That joyfully explode." Okay. Now here comes the important part. "Into the original purity and integrity in all that you touch." Are you stem cells, according to Sylvia here, are you a catalyst that when you touch the body, you cause its original purity and integrity to come forth? Or are you the original purity and integrity that comes forth when you touch the body, which is the catalyst that causes you to do that? Interesting, huh? You see, you have to be real careful. When you make such a convoluted statement like this, it is difficult to find what you really mean in it. And if you have any trouble finding what you mean in it, set aside and write it again clearly. Write it again saying whatever it is that you mean, so that it could be readily understood. Yes?
I just wondered about, this is for me more like you kind of commanding or giving to work to your stem cells to reveal this original purity and integrity. I mean, they are it, but they are undifferentiated. It's just like, well, the way I understood, just like if I had, for instance, Steve is a doctor, so he would go into this and physically insert stem cells in a person. So I would sneak in the office sometime and talk to him, and I would just sit there and bless their stem cells. That would make a difference, right?
I'm really not hearing enough of what you're saying to understand what you're saying. Would you like to repeat it, please, louder? I'm happy to listen.
When Jesus speaks about the original purity and integrity.
When we talk about our original purity and integrity.
Yeah. You're basically commanding this, or giving the stem cell the...
Our technique in using them is to command them to do something for us.
If you would insert a stem cell without any instruction, it would just be there. It wouldn't do anything.
When you insert a stem cell in the liver, the stem cell immediately goes about remaking the liver without any previous instructions, without any information from you what to do.
I feel that it would just take on the attitude of the cells and do nothing more. But if you instruct the same stem cell with, let's say, reveal my original purity and integrity, and then it does it. But if you...
When these doctors insert the stem cells into the brain of this boy, they are inserting it for a reason. They are inserting it so the stem cells can heal the boy's brain and bring the brain back to normalcy.
I know. So
no, I mean, is that the instructions that you're talking about?
Kind of, but the thing is, this: if they insert those brain cells that are undifferentiated matter,
right? And they tell
them. Let's say the doctor is there, but there's a monk near, and the monk blesses those stem cells before they even go in the brain of the boy.
Yeah.
And the kind of distant instructions to reveal the boy's original purity and integrity, would that be more effective than just inserting stem cells which are undifferentiated?
Your concept is totally correct. Your idea is good, but your innuendo is that you need someone who is spiritually illumined to do this.
No.
And it doesn't need to be a monk. It can be the parent.
It can be the doctor.
It can be the doctor. Now, why, as I ask you, why is the doctor inserting the stem cell into the brain of this child?
Well, he believes it.
No. He inserts the stem cell into the brain of this child because he believes that the stem cell is going to readjust the brain and return it to its original purity and integrity. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay, so then, in other words, the doctor is the intelligence behind the activity of what the brain stem cell is going to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that means a person can...
Does that cover what you want to say there?
Well, that's what we do here. If you would just put in stem cells without any instruction, they're all differentiated matter. They wouldn't do anything, or they would join the old ones.
That's it. Yes, Sylvia?
I have another aspect of that saying that my stem cells are my original purity and integrity. Because I believe that my original purity and integrity is undifferentiated.
In other words, when you say it is undifferentiated, it is waiting to be directed.
Of course, but...
Is that what you mean by reaffirming
that? I mean that it does not need to be differentiated to be my original purity and integrity. It is that always.
No. The brain cells are always your original purity and integrity.
No, I mean the stem cells.
I meant that too. Your stem cells are your original purity and integrity always.
Yes, which does not need a differentiation to be my original purity.
But the thing is, why do your stem cells, once they are differentiated, needing to be reminded of their original purity and integrity?
Yeah, that's because they've taken a new role. Yeah, because they have taken on that form, and that form is the thought form.
Now, is the original purity and integrity in that thought form too?
Yes.
And yours is to encourage it to be recognized utilized once again. Now, you had a comment?
At what point? So we're saying that a doctor can program or give a command to...
Actually, physically put a stem cell in the brain, yeah.
But I thought earlier we said that one person can't affect someone else's stem cells.
What's that? Say again.
An outside person. I thought we said that an outside person couldn't impact our stem cells.
Right.
Yeah, and does.
So what's the difference? Is it because those stem cells are no longer in anybody's body, that the doctor has them now and putting them in someone else?
They're actually, what we're talking about is three or four different ideas. And the one idea that I detect that you're talking about is the one which says that the stem cells in our body can be impacted by the thinking of another being.
I thought we said they couldn't.
No, I thought that's what you said. Were you asking if it could? No, if it can't.
If the doctor can, then it can.
Yes, that's it. If the doctor can, then it can. Now, if it can physically be impacted, okay?
It can mentally.
No. The doctor put the stem cells in the kid's brain to help bring the brain back to a normal usefulness. Okay. In the process, the child opened its eyes, which it could not do before. In the process, the child took a hold of its something with its hand, like the parent's finger or something, and held it, which it couldn't before. Now, that was very precious and very significant to them. Now, whether indeed that happened because of the stem cell being put into the brain, or whether that was merely because the brain itself was in some way irritated so that it acted in that way, you know what I mean? That somehow the brain itself was, by the fact of the insertion of these cells, it was irritated to do something it hadn't done before. Now, whether it was the stem cell that did it or not. Now, we said that the stem cell, and I still believe this, we said that the stem cell of a human body, of any human body, cannot be impacted by the action or the insertion or this anything of anybody else. Now, science is trying to teach us that they can take stem cells and cure a person's liver. That they can take a stem cell, and I mean, we've got reports of it in those sheets that we gave you there from the encyclopedia there, Wikipedia, I guess they call it. And in that, it tells of how they have done these things. So that would indicate that the brain, original purity and integrity, but you see now, that doesn't say that at all. It does not say the original purity and integrity is in any way touched. All it says is that the experience of imperfection is somehow touched and resolved, and the experience of imperfection goes away, but the original purity and integrity is always there. Perhaps what it is doing, it is, by taking away the imperfection, it is revealing the original purity and integrity that are always there. Now, I think your observation is very, very important, because the original purity and integrity can never be affected by anything outside of us. And it can't be affected by anything inside of us either. Why cannot the original purity and integrity never be affected by anything inside of us?
Because it's always intact.
Because it's always intact. It's always its ideal. Yeah, it's always its ideal. Go ahead.
If we think negative thoughts, then it would never be touched. It would remain intact.
Ellen, that's correct. It is never touched. It remains intact, but it is covered up.
Oh, okay.
It is covered up, so it appears not to be there.
Okay, yeah.
And if you've ever been in Switzerland in a snowstorm, and the snowstorm is very severe, and you walk out of the house, and you say, whoops, I think I better wait a while. Because if you walk out during the snowstorm, you don't know right from left or up from down. and you could walk into some dangerous area and not realize it. And if you have a rope, that helps to lead you. But the thing is, that's the way it is. You see, the barnyard is very plain. The road is very plain. Everything is very plain. And as soon as the snowstorm is over and the sun comes out and the flowers come up again, you think to yourself, where was that blankness? Where was that invisibility of that snowstorm? How could that have been? I mean, I can see right from here to there, and I know my way right from here to there. Well, you know your way as long as you close your eyes. The minute you open your eyes, then you start trying to depend on your senses. And because you try to depend on your senses where there are no senses to depend on, there are no vision, nothing that you can see, then you lose your sight. You lose your sight by opening your eyes. Isn't that strange? But this is how it works, and this is how it functions. Yes?
It reminds me a little bit of the years ago you used the example of the diamond within.
Yes.
The diamond is always there.
Yes.
And you just take the crud off the diamond,
yes,
you know, and just let it shine out. But
yes.
It's always its original purity and integrity,
yes,
untouched. So
it's same illustration, same concept.
Right.
And the diamond is always there. And the diamond is just a symbol. It could be original purity and integrity, like some special stone, the philosopher's stone inside of us or something like that, you know. Does everyone have the philosopher's stone inside of them?
Yes.
Sure. Does everyone have this stone that they can touch and it does anything they ask? Is it the genius in them, the genii? Yes.
Coming back to the important phrase, all is done by thought. Whatever you think, you perform, you can create.
Yes.
So also, whatever I think of the stem cells to do, they do.
Oh, whatever instruction you give the,
yes,
stem cells, they do.
Yes.
Right. You see, it's
simple. Kiss.
Yeah, that's right. But if you think the stem cells should do something, that's one thing. If you tell the stem cells to do something, that's another. If you think that your child should come in from playing outside, that's one thing. Unless you're very close to your child. And if you're very close to your child will feel your I feel mother's calling me, you know, and then you go in. And that's true. But if you don't have that relationship, which most don't, then they have to call out loud and say, time to come in now. And so it is the stem cells. If we don't have a relationship with the stem cells, where we are one with and as them, then we have to speak firmly and strongly, saying, stem cells, take over my heart. Stem cells, take over my liver. Stem cells, take over my body. That's a nice way to do it. Stem cells, take over my consciousness. But really, are you strong enough to say, stem cells, take over my consciousness? You know what that would mean? That would mean that you quite likely would experience a spiritual healing and never remember any of the problems that you ever had, any of the desires you ever had, any of the unfulfilled qualities of your being, and you would just be that divine, spiritually illumined being. Now, if you cannot go to someone and say, oh, hi, Marie, just look, I'm a multimillionaire now. And Marie says, oh, that's nice. Yeah. But you don't even know that you never were that, so you wouldn't go to Marie and say that. And if you went to Marie, she'd say, so, what else is new? I mean, I've known that about you ever since I've met you. Ever since I've known you, you've been a very wealthy lady, you know, and that's what you are. But you see, that's what happens when you turn yourself over 100% and say, stem cells, take over. Yes?
So the stem cells inherently have this original purity and integrity. It's unshakable. It's with them wherever they go. So a doctor puts stem cells into a little boy's brain. Who or what tells those stem cells what to do?
Well, I have a little different point of view on that. The stem cells, even though we say they have the original purity and integrity in them, they don't. They don't have the original purity and integrity in them. The stem cells are, in the law of cause and effect, the the area which is causing something to happen. It is to do. It is that which brings something about. It is actually, the stem cells are more like catalysts. And themselves, they're not changed. They can never be changed. They can never be in any way changed. They merely enter into doing whatever is called upon for them. If they go into the liver, they're perfect, and so they see the liver perfect.
But I thought they became a liver cell then.
Huh?
And the next day, I thought we said that they went and did that job. They became a liver cell.
No. Yes and no. They go into the liver, and they reorganize the liver into its original purity and integrity. I think we could play lots of games here, and one of them would be the stem cell is the plus on the magnet, and the original purity and integrity is the minus on the magnet. And so when the stem cell goes into any organ, it is a plus drawn to the minus and becomes the original purity and integrity of whatever that is. And if it's the liver or the heart or lungs or whatever, and then it brings about the wholeness and the purity within that object, it catalyzes that into action. And when it's finished, it's just there. Yes.
I had a client who went to Brazil to do this stem cell transplanting into his, I think, liver tube, and it didn't work.
It didn't work.
No, he's not here anymore.
It didn't work.
No.
Well,
that's why it makes me thinking, the receiver, if they do this.
That what?
The receiver, like his client, he has to do his work. He has to speak his word. That this stem cell can be a catalyst of the people.
Oh, a believer. Is that what you said? No, I mean, I don't hear you clearly, so I'm not understanding all that you're saying. And you have a good voice. You can speak up very clearly, please. And yes, your client went in to have an experience. They went in to have a stem cell transplantation, right?
Yep.
And so in the process of having the stem cell transplantation in the early stages of doing it, perhaps many factors were involved. And I don't know anything about it, so I can't really speak about that, nor do you. But what we can say is that they went in an early stage of stem cell transplantation work. And perhaps if they would go again, they might have a different experience. And you're saying that if it truly is a thing that functions, and an actual stem cell, and you have to make sure it's a stem cell, an actual stem cell is put into some area of the body, that area of the body is going to be transformed into its original purity and integrity. Because the stem cell is the catalyst that causes the original purity and integrity to manifest itself in that organ, action, or function. Does that make any sense?
Hi, Ted.
It makes sense.
It makes sense, but I don't believe it.
I think it was said a little differently a different day.
What?
It seems like we were saying that if we didn't program our stem cells, they would just go do what all the other cells were doing.
If we leave the stem cells alone when they're born in our brain, they will join all the other stem cells in our, all the other cells in our brain, and do whatever is being done up there. That will become their catalytic action.
Right.
And that's neither good nor bad.
So if somebody gets a transplant and there's no... nobody tells the stem cells what to do, the same thing will happen, right? They'll just go do it all.
Very likely. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy you were close enough to hear that all. Heinz, did you have a comment?
Yeah. There was this example with that glass water in
yes.
the one
mm-hmm.
bleed, and the water carries the message which is on the label of the bottle.
Yes.
If it's anger, it will transform the water into a picture of anger. If it's bliss on the bottle, it will transform the water into bliss. But the stem cell is the label on the cells, which gives it the message of what it wants to be. And there's a story with our water machine, which we use for our drinking water. I was reading the review of that product, and there was a customer saying, it doesn't work. I did everything for the water, what it can do. It would clean our pool if I poured it into the pool. And he poured it into the pool and it didn't work, and he complained to the company back that it was a fake, it didn't work for him. But it showed the way he spoke about it. He was a very angry man. He had conflicts, he was unhappy about himself. So the moment he received that water, he transferred a new label onto that water, and it didn't do the work for him. There were other people who were reading a label saying, this water does this, this water cleans your well. They accepted that, poured it into their well, and let the purity of the label remain. Where the other man who was angry changed the label, and it didn't work for him. The same thing with injecting stem cells into the brain. If there's a team of doctors who completely believe very strongly it will do the job, if the patient buys the story, it will do the job. If the patient has a doubt about it, which is stronger than the doctor's belief, it will change the treatment without functioning.
Now, do you believe all that garbage?
Absolutely.
No, just a minute. Just a minute, please. We'll get to you. And don't forget what you're saying, because it's important. But I want to say what I want to say here. Heinz said that the man put the water in his pool and it did not purify it like it was supposed to. And the pool people recognized that the man was a very angry man, and that he transposed his anger to the bottle of water before it went into the pool, and so therefore the water was angry water. Now, Heinz, what label have you put on your body that you are demonstrating in your life?
I'm whole and perfect now.
Yeah, but are you putting the label on there that I am whole and perfect, but I've got this, that, and the other thing? Now, you see, if you have dual labels, you will have virtually nothing. If you say, I'm whole and perfect, but I got this, and I got that, you see, if I could take a hammer and hit you on the head and knock you out and give you amnesia so that you would not remember the past, you would be perfect instantly, as you are now. You'll be perfect instantly, you understand? But as long as you have those old memories, then you're going to have the effects of those old memories. Now, this man who put his anger into his pool water was certainly demonstrating it very clearly. But it took a very metaphysical mind to understand it while it was being done without themselves, in fact, being angry also. The company could be angry too. What do you mean? It works for everybody else. You must be some sort of, you know. And don't call names. Okay, now, that's something very important, Heinz. What you have said is the very essence of metaphysical thinking. What you have said is the very essence of positive thinking. What you have said is the very essence of wholeness and perfection. What you have said is the living response of our original purity and integrity to our physical bodies and our physical life and our mental and spiritual life. Now, if you could just remember what you said, or even think it up in other words, you will have a tool that will be something you can use all the hundreds and thousands of years of your whole and healthy life. Make sense?
Makes sense.
Okay. Well, don't let yourself forget it just because you said it and it came so easy. But it came easy because it was the truth. Now, follow it. Okay, now, who was first? Ingeborg?
Yes, it is a confirmation that all depends of the thoughts a person has and the attitude.
It's a confirmation of it. Just like the lady who was standing in front of it, and she says, now this was one that said it is a bottle that was thought with the happy thoughts. Now, if you could read Japanese, you already knew that. Remember? Now, so that's a little bit of a slight, you know. And and she's Japanese, or she could read it at least. But you see, we want to be very careful that with all of our brilliance and with all of our sharing and all of our magic that we have in our world and in our teaching and our philosophy, there's a lot more magic in here than we're willing to give credit to it. And it's not me, it's the teaching, it's the philosophy, it's the program, and then it's me. And then it's you. But it's first the teaching. Okay, now, if you live this so completely, then everything in your life comes up roses. And I think that's a nice way to have it. Who else had something? Yes, Sylvia?
I was thinking while we were talking about the thought, you know, that that is the cause for all our experiences and how our body...
The God?
No, is the cause.
The cause.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about, but what is the intelligence that lets a baby come forth in its original purity and integrity, as long as we don't put limiting thoughts on it, you know? There must be something beyond thought, you know, an intelligence which is my original purity and integrity, which is manifesting itself without that I put my nose into its business.
Now, we have to go around with this here, Ingeborg. We'll come back to you. Go ahead, Greg.
Well, what I think about this, I have another question, but what I think about this is that if we manifest, it's an illusion.
If we manifest the illusion?
No. The reality, like Silvio says, exists without being a manifestation. That's reality.
No, I don't mean this. Oh, I mean the baby is an illusion too.
Yeah, but it's already a manifest.
But it's still manifest in its original purity. That's what I mean.
Yeah, that's the probably the first thought and the closest manifestation of the reality. But what I actually had before, I want to say about 10,000 stem cells. Just as an example, I could imagine for myself, each of these 10,000 stem cells represents the law of cause and effect.
I believe that too.
Mm-hmm. So I will send it to my organ. If I send it to my organ without instruction, it will take on the organ's other cells' instruction. If I send it to my special organ and tell them, bring it to its original
purity and integrity.
Purity and integrity. Mm-hmm. It's a totally different story.
That's a totally different story.
And that's what I actually meant. It's caused this discussion here. That's what I meant, actually. Just like by itself, if it doesn't get any instruction, it just is its original purity and integrity, but it doesn't do anything.
And?
If I give it the instruction, it will do.
If every patient who came to see Stephen said, Steve, I want to be whole and perfect. What would Steve do with them? Now, don't answer. What would Steve do with them? He would respond to them in one way. If they say, Steve, I've got this here, I've got these diseases, I got this problem, and what can I do about it? Well, then he would respond to them in another way. It would be a keeper's game just to keep you alive. Here, I want to be whole and perfect. So here he would say to you, all right, let's check you out. You're doing good here, you're doing good there. He'd be saying, and if you're looking at the bad stuff, he'd be saying, well, now this you got to work on, this you got to work on, this is a problem. And before you know it, you build up so many problems, you're only thinking of the problem. But if you go and say, I want to express my original purity and integrity, and then the doctor looks at you from one way, you go with the other, he looks at you with the other. So you see, like you're saying, if we can have these ideas pure and beautiful, if we can tell our stem cells what we expect of them when they go hither and yon, then they will do it. If we tell them when they go to the muscle in the arm that is sore, we say, go into that muscle and reverberate it, make it whole and perfect once again, and give it back its original purity and integrity. And then they go in there and do it. If you go in there and say, go into that sore muscle, and then they become one of the other sore muscle cells, you know. Because the stem cell is merely a cell that has not been differentiated. Now, A stem cell is a cell that is merely a cell that's not differentiated. If the cell is put anywhere, it will differentiate itself with whatever its purpose is to do. And what is its purpose to do? Whatever we name it. Mm-hmm. And that's why that's so important. Now, you had something further on that?
No, what about the baby? Because
the you're back at the baby again?
Yes.
All right.
Science has demonstrated that it is very important when the lady gets the feeling or gets pregnant, they treat that little thing there with good music, good thoughts, and love.
Why?
Because they react, and they even have a special belt to listen to kind music.
Yeah, but why?
To bring out a healthy creature and very intelligent. When we have Rhonda, she applied it, and we see how intelligent.
But why?
That to influence, because that.
But why? But why? But why? So that the baby will express its original purity and integrity instead of something else that might come along from the cells that are around it. That might come around, mommy has a tummy ache, mommy has a heartache, mommy has an alcohol ache or a drug ache or something. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So when you tell the baby, you tell it as it is gestating, you tell it that it is beautiful, it is fantastic, it is whole, very strong and vital. In a sick woman, a healthy child will be born. And is a healthy child born in a sick woman?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
A healthy child is often born in a woman who doesn't speak affirmations.
I'm sorry?
A healthy baby is often born from a woman that doesn't speak consciously affirmations.
What side of the story are you on?
I'm just on the
We can give the pros and cons of everything if we want to, but the thing is, every time we give the cons, we're not giving the pros, and we want to stay with the pros because we only have so much time. But the cons are there. They're there for everything. There's the mother who gave all the possible good, loving thoughts to her child, and the child turned out to be a mongoloid, or turned out to be unintelligent, or whatever, you know. And so we have to be real careful. One little illustration doesn't prove it or disprove it. It merely shows us that things are being thought in that way. Now, what I want to say to you is be very careful that you don't make a king or something to worship out of these ideas. These ideas are merely principle. We are using them as principle. Simple, easy. Rochelle sets her daughter down at the piano and says, "Sweetheart, this is your gift. You, when you finish a few years of learning how to play this piano, you will be so wonderful, all the world will sit up and take notice and say, 'What a glorious pianist.' And you will feel so happy and so content. Because for you, it'll come so naturally. You'll do it in your spare time. You'll be happy with it. And the kid will love the piano." But the mother said, "I bought this piano and I paid hard, cold money for it. You said you wanted it. Now sit down and you practice. Now you sit down and you practice." And what kind of pianist is that going to be? She'll hate the piano in no time at all. In no time at all. And all your money will really be wasted. But the thing is, if you have the loving, unconditional loving attitude, then the child will do it. Now, the mother who believes that she can speak happy thoughts to her child will expect happy thoughts from her child. And she'll get happy thoughts from her child. She'll get a child who is the living example of its original purity and integrity. But a mother who doesn't take the time to even try, she might get it, she might not. It's a chance. And there's no reason why she could not get it just because she didn't put the cause in motion. Because there are other factors putting causes in motion in our life, not just our particular self, which we are pretty good. We're pretty important. And it's a wonderful thing to do. Now, did we get everybody answered in whatever way I chose to do it? Okay. Yes. Now, yes? No?
Yes.
Yes, okay, good. Now, Irene,
yes.
Your person who went in for this operation could very well have been Heinz's example.
It was.
Huh?
It was.
She was.
But he was like that. He didn't put his whole.
He didn't believe in it.
No.
No. And so he went in and had it done, but didn't believe. Now, it should have worked without his belief, because the stem cell is told what to do. However, if he is going to disbelieve, see, not believe is one thing, but disbelieve is something else. I don't believe it's true. And what is not believe?
Another cause.
Hmm?
Another cause.
Another cause. So, you see, we have to be so very careful. And, yeah, we do not go around making people live like we think they should live. We do not go around making people whole and perfect. Do you know Jesus on the road to Damascus, Jesus on the road to anywhere, lining up the road were lepers and palsied people and people with lack of sight and people with every possible disease and every possible thing. Only those who reached out to Jesus did he stop and do something for. Now, if Jesus was so damn good, why didn't he just put out his hand and say, you're all healed? Why didn't he go into, if they had hospitals in those days, I think they probably did of some sort, why didn't he go into the hospitals where these people were sick?
He didn't see that.
He didn't see that. And that's the point. He did not see that. He walked down that road and he did not smell the decaying skin of the ill people around him. He didn't smell all of the defecation of the dogs and the people and that all around him. All he saw was a beautiful walk down a road on his way to Galilee, on his way wherever he was going. Now, was Jesus cold, heartless, unkind, not to recognize their illness?
No.
Boy, you sure answered that quick, didn't you?
No.
Was Jesus cold and heartless and unkind, not to recognize their illnesses? No. What if you went into a doctor's office and you said, doctor, I got this, I got this, I got this, I got this. The doctor said, shut up. What? Yeah, shut up. I am a doctor and I am in this business for wholeness. I'm not in this business to hear people's problems. Now, you don't have enough money for this here, you don't have enough food on the table, you don't have this, you don't have that, your husband ran away, and you are relating yourself with somebody else, and you're doing, I don't want to hear all those things. That's not the problem. The problem is, do you like yourself? I'd like to. Well, when you start liking yourself, all your problems will dissolve. Oh, really? Yes, really. When you start liking yourself, all your problems will go away because they have no place to be. They're not welcome. Problems are not welcome in the body, the life, and the home of a person who likes himself. You know that. When you like yourself, no problems are there. When you don't like yourself, you got all the problems in the world. And Irene's man, who went in for the operation, he didn't like himself. And so there was just a big game. And undoubtedly, he was not paying for it either. Because if he were paying for it, he would have never gone in for the operation because he would feel it was a waste right before he started. But since the government or somebody else was paying for it, insurance company or what have you, then he went in and had it done. Many people are like that. Many people. Now, when you like yourself, you don't ever have to go to the hospital, really. When you like yourself, all the things are put into motion, just like that, and wholeness and perfection are yours. Can you see how the principle works? Mm-hmm. Now, you say, well, Herb, you really just skirted my question. You really went around what I was talking about. You really didn't pay any attention to what I was really telling you about. And you really weren't paying any attention, Herb, to what I was really telling you about. Shut up! You go into the doctor's office, he says, shut up, doctor. That's not good. Doctor's bedside manners. Well, I am a doctor of health. Now, if you want to go into a doctor of illness, it's right next office here. It's right on the door. It's a doctor of illness. And mine says doctor of health. Now, why did you come in my office? Did you come in here because you want health or illness? Well, I got to tell you why I have what I have so you can help me get rid of it. No. I will help you not get rid of anything because I don't really see you with any problem. I will help you enjoy perfect health. I will enjoy and help you enjoy being living in a happy, healthy body and so forth. You know, that's what I'm here for. See, and that's what Steve is there for. Steve is this doctor, the friend of Rochelle and Gregor up in wherever they live. And he is a successful doctor, but he's a happy doctor. And people come in to see him, and he says, well, for goodness sakes, this will be fixed in no time. You're in good hands with me. You're in good hands with Steve. You see, that's a slogan he's got on the door. You're in good hands with Steve. He says, the minute you get in that door, get into Steve's hands, and all things are in place. All things back in order again, and you're number one on the hit parade. And you're ready to sing your head off and have a happy, happy, happy life. And people say, wow, what a crazy, mixed-up guy. And then everybody walks out of his office. They walk into his office. You walk out of his office. And they're happy as birds singing on a tree. And what happens when all the birds sing on a tree limb? It falls down. And they fly away. Okay, Steve. I mean, Greg.
Greg. Just a little thing. It's so funny because he tells many of his clients, when he introduces him, I'm Dr. Steve. It's kind of funny. Harry Black told me one time, oh, he's so nice. You know, he says, every time I contact, oh, this is Dr. Steve.
Doesn't that make a difference?
Yeah, I see.
Now, ask Irene this question. Does Dr. Steve like himself?
Does Dr. Steve like himself, Irene?
Dr. Steve likes himself too.
Truly. Yes. And now why can you say that, Irene, and you don't even know the guy? You know them, and if they're any example of what he is, he must be fantastic.
He's like me.
That's right. That's right. He's like you. The perfect doctor. The perfect metaphysician. The perfect healer. What do you heal, healer?
I see myself healthy, whole and perfect. And that's why I can only see around me the same.
And it's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
But this is how it works. This is how it works. Sometimes it takes the strangest trip of our toe as we walk along for us to find the truth or to find something meaningful to us. And I think each one of us are finding things where we hadn't expected to find them today. And that's a good thing. Let's look at our notes and see if there's anything worth saying here. My stem cells are undifferentiated, the ideal waiting. My stem cells are undifferentiated, the ideal waiting. Nothing that we have to do. Can a stem cell be put into an ill organ and not have an impact on the organ for health? Heinz? Can a stem cell be put into an ill organ and have and not have an impact on it?
Sure.
How?
By the label. It's given.
I'm sorry?
By the label it's given.
Yes. Yes, by the label it's given. Is that stem cell pure?
It is pure.
Is the organ going to be pure when the stem cell enters in? So, can the stem cell have an impact on an ill organ?
It can.
Does it always have an impact?
It always has an impact.
It doesn't always have the impact that we expect because of what?
A label.
Yeah, a label, another cause. a label that's put on it, and that label, that's a good word, the label, that label gets it in trouble. Can you see that? No. See how simple that is? You might all have a big word label across your forehead here, and remember that your label has to be right. Yes, Ingeborg?
You mentioned to Irene, when she goes to this difficult lady, instead of seeing her in that way, but to imagine that she talks to God, someone, means to change the label, the name, and all in changing the label, it comes out a totally different effect.
But Irene has to be careful of one thing. She is not a teacher.
Yes.
Irene is what?
Irene is only a...
She is a...
She
is an actress. She is a role model. She is a role model. And as a role model, she lives what she believes, and therefore they learn what she is by how she lives what she believes. And if she's going to sit there with her hands up, say, "Oh God, help me, oh God," then they're going to think that they got to look outside too. But if she says, "God, you in there? Hey God, you in there?" and, you know, taps her tummy and says, "God, I know you're in there someplace. Now, I need a little advice," you know. And then the voice speaks out from her voice, "Yes, Irene, this is God speaking. Now, what the heck you wanted? I was just having a nap." "But God, you're supposed to be on duty while I'm awake." "I'm on duty while you're awake or asleep, but that doesn't mean I can't sleep." "Well, all right, God, let's forget that. Now, God, this is what I need." That's an easy one, Irene. Just like yourself and you've no problem. "Thank you, God, I knew that." "Well, then why did you bother me? You know, here I am trying to get a good night's sleep, and you pound on my bedroom door." "Okay, God, okay. But you see?" Now, if Irene were to do that in front of her patients, what do you think they would think? No, no. They would think, "Oh, God's inside of us. We are God. God is inside of us." See, that's the point. Go to the Father within. And this is what she wants. That's what you said, that she should teach them about God, about God, about God. Well, now,
to change the name for her, to give her a...
Yeah, you're teaching, name. I mean, you're offering an idea on a broader basis than what I was saying. That's true. But it's nonetheless changing the name. And so put God here rather than out there. "God! God, where's your door? I can't see it. I can't find it." You know, "God,
I'm inside. What do you got?"
"We're playing poker with the boys tonight. Now, I don't want to be disturbed. I got a winning hand here." You know, "God, do you play poker?" "I do anything."
Always has a winning hand.
And so you see, this is what the game of life is all about. This is what the fun... Heinz, do you know that, God?
Yes.
I thought you did.
Only with him all the time.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah, he's a friendly God.
Yeah.
The kind of God you can really get with and do things with.
Have
My goodness sake, here it is, the noon hour, and we haven't even done the last two here. Impacted by my cells, my stem cells, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body, and I'm whole and perfect. Impacted by my stem cells. How am I impacted by my stem cells? By my word, by my thought, by my word. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. My affirmations. I'm whole and perfect. I'm fantastic. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. And what do racers and people in athletics do? They're coming down, they're winning, and then when they get to, just as they go across the line, they throw their hands up and they break the string with their chest. I did it, you know, exuberance. I mean, with the amount of exuberance they expressed at the end line, they could have been across the line four or five times sooner than they were, you know, but they saved that enthusiasm because they had to have that enthusiasm, that show off at the end of the line, say, "That's me, I'm God, I'm good, oh boy, look at me, don't I shine," you know, and because if they get to the end of the rope and you know, they're panting like a dog that's been running too hard. Well, that's not very exciting. It's when they, hooray, then collapse, you know. You got to have that, hooray. And then your buddies pick you up and carry you to the post to get the prize. But this is all the game, you know. It's all the fun stuff. Okay, that does that one. All right. You know, we could go on for a couple of months with the seminar. It's a lot of fun. Advanced psychology, its application now. Heinz? What did the bottled water people say to the man, or about the man whose bottled water did not purify his pool or his pond? What did they say? They said that man had put a label on his bottle, and it was a label called anger. And that label was made all the water angry, so when it was put into the pond or pool or wherever it was put, it didn't do anything except stagnate in the pool, and the pool became more stagnant, less attractive. And then, yes?
It says on the bottom of the bottle, do not change instructions, or do not change the label, and he didn't follow the instructions.
Do not change the label. Now, isn't that interesting? You get a bottle of something, it says, don't change the label. Have you ever heard of that? I never heard of that. Don't change the label. How significant, huh? Yeah.
No. Yeah. Next time, when the company came to visit this guy, there was one really excellent person, and he just came to this guy there. It's all okay. There was I like me on the label. And so this guy walked around and he started to feel greater and greater and greater and greater, and then I checked the water. Woo!
High level stuff. But you know, Gregor, it's no more tough or no easier than that. That's just the way it is. When people are feeling bad, you pat them on the shoulder and say, there, you could have died, you know. No, there, this too shall pass, you know. And hey, you know. Or if you're at a tragedy, or if you're at a difficult circumstance, and the person involved is suffering quite seriously, if you can get them to hold a baby whose life was saved, or an elderly person or anybody whose life was saved from that instant, they will immediately transfer their anxiety over to this person as compassion for the person, and they'll forget about their own hurt. And by the time the whistles and everything stop blowing and everybody goes home, they will be mellow fellows, really beautiful. This is advanced psychology, advanced thinking. And it's stuff that really works beautiful. It's stuff that we can put into motion if we want. And we can get excited about it. And we all need to be involved in it. We all need to speak our word and call forth whatever it is that is the truth about us. Because that's what it's all about. And that's what it's wonderful about. Now, do you like that? If you ever see my light out, you tell me. But do you like that? What do you mean?
Turn it around.
Well, if I turn it around, you won't see it. The light's on top here. Do you see it? 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 Shut up. Do you see it? Do you see it? Okay. She sees it. And who else sees it?
Yes, it depends how you move it. Yeah. Depends on the light.
Maybe make a little hood over it. Okay.
A little umbrella.
A little umbrella. Then, of course, keep my voice away from the speakers. Yeah. These are the microphones here. But we're all done. Thank you.